Hello, everybody, and welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Let's try that one more time. Hello, Tech Ed.
Hello.
That was pretty good. This is great. Just me and 800 of my closest friends. I love it. I saw so many great people who I've known, got to meet, re-meet. Before we even get started, I kind of just want to say thanks. This speech is being broadcast live through the internet. Woohoo! Yes. And I'm super grateful that the folks on the internet could make it here. I also want to pre-thank my friends on the group policy team, both Zach and Aaron, for helping me with some of the content here. Also Matt Reynolds from Microsoft, who helped vet out some of the content here. I also want to thank the TechEd team at large for getting this amazing event set up. Give the TechEd team a round of applause. They've just been amazing. Amazing. Really great. And lastly, a thanks to my own personal team at GP Answers and PolicyPack Software, who've been an enormous source of thanks for me. Okay, with that in mind, this is Group Policy Tips, Tricks, and Notes from the Field. With that being said, the subtitle of this talk is Don't Blame Group Policy If It's Not Group Policy's Fault. Okay, so we're gonna hit three big areas. Big area number one is underdocumented features. Okay, underdocumented items, things that you might have heard of, might not have heard of, things that can be confusing. I'm gonna try to clear up some stuff. Then we're gonna get right into the big part. Tips for speed freaks. Who has ever heard, my computer's running slow, it must be group policy's fault? Who's ever had that? Raise your hand, turn around, you are not alone. Okay, let's figure out if that's really true or not. And then lastly, we're going to talk about group policy troubleshooting base hits. Little things that you can bring back if somebody does blame group policy for you to actually figure out if it's true or not. I'm not saying it's always not group policy's fault, so we'll try to figure it out, put some data around it, okay? So then we have some bonus opportunities at the end. Bonus number one for geeks, I just didn't have enough time to cover everything. So with that in mind, I'm gonna give you some special takeaways at the end, which are some videos on ADM, ADMX, and group policy preferences gotchas. So that was in the agenda, but it's a video, it's a set of videos that you'll be able to download after. And then toward the end, the last quarter or so, I'll be doing some special group policy announcements. Stay tuned, there's some really interesting stuff in there. So let's get started with underdocumented items. So the first thing that I want to cover here in underdocumented items is that there are many versions of the GPMC. I know a lot of you are still on your own very machine, the guy and gal who creates group policy directives. I know most of you are using Windows 7 on your machine, your machine. That's not bad. I'm not saying that you are doing anything wrong, but you could be doing something a little better. And here's the idea. Like, for instance, here in this slide, you can see that there's group policy preferences items for Internet Explorer 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. And I get asked all the time, where the heck is 9? Where the heck is 10? So the idea is that if you, yes, you, switch your machine to the latest, greatest GPMC, which today, as it would stand, would be Windows 8.1 or Server 2012 R2. If your own very machine, where you create GPMC directives from, you then get this. It's a big change, right? This is not the only thing. This is the quick, most evident change, and I want to just bring that right up there. But wait a second, isn't there Internet Explorer 11 as well? So what does this mean, Internet Explorer 10? How do I know Internet Explorer 10 will actually also apply to Internet Explorer 11? You might have tried it, you might not have tried it, but there's actually a reason why it works. And it's this idea inside group policy preferences called internal item level targeting filters. Internal item level targeting filters, which is to say, after you create the preference item, and I'm gonna show you this during the demo, if you drag and drop it to the desktop and then you look at it, you'll see underneath the hood this series of this expression which says, only apply when these conditions are true. Well, what are the conditions? The conditions right here say between Internet Explorer version 10 and 99. So you should be covered with 11. Okay? I don't know precisely why that's the case. It could change in a future release, but that's how it sits right now. So that's the first thing. The second thing you get is better reporting, okay? If you use the older GPMC, okay, this is a screenshot of the older GPMC, you'll see that there's this idea called summary, which shows you the applied group policy objects and the denied group policy objects. It's totally great. You get a lot of value out of that. And you also get the settings report in the older GPMC. So this is what you would see if you're using the group policy reporting feature that is inside Windows 7, However, if you upgrade to Windows 8.1, you get this. So your yes, that was pretty cool, whoever did that, thank you. So you get a newer updated GPMC reporting style where you first get a summary of anything unusual. What would things be unusual? If a link is enforced, that sucker is always going to apply. If there's a slow link detected, that will be represented. And that means the behavior of group policy will change. So with that in mind, if you start using the Windows 8 GPMC, you also get a separation of the details, and it becomes slightly easier to troubleshoot. For instance, in this example, if you had multiple power plan settings and you had conflicting group policy objects, you can see very quickly on the details tab under the power plan portion that test GPO number one is the most winningest GPO. So if you had 7 of them, the one that bubbles up to the top, that's really the term, most winningest, okay? So if you have multiple of them, the one that's closest to the top is the most winningest. And that can help you determine if there's a conflict between group policy objects and their settings, which one that needs some adjustment. Does that make sense? Okay, excellent. Cool, so that helps you detect most winning GPOs. Other stuff. There are some new bells and whistles with regards to group policy preference items. And again, how do you get this? When you use Windows 8.1 GPMC on your machine. So far, I haven't talked about them. We haven't talked about the target user. We're just talking about you. If you want to do more stuff, you got to use the latest, greatest GPMC, okay? So by way of example here, you can see that TCPIP printer properties use IPv6, and also VPN properties also have IPv6, okay? Now here's where it starts to get good. Every once in a while, you might have multiple domain controllers. You create a group policy object and something catches fire in replication. Technically, that's not group policy's fault. That's the replication fault. It becomes a group policy problem, but it's not really group policy's fault. With that in mind, inside the latest, greatest GPMC, you have this idea called the status tab. The status tab. What? You've never seen the status tab? Because that means you're not using the Windows 8 or 8.1 GPMC. Okay, I'm just trying to put a fine point on it. The status tab enables you to select a domain controller you're pretty sure isn't broken. You gotta start somewhere. So you pick a domain controller you're pretty sure is okay, and then you click Detect Now, and it will whiz around all the domain controllers and check all the GPOs for consistency. If one of them should be broken in some capacity, it will report on that, and you can do things like delete it and restore it, provided you have a backup, and usually that will solve the problem. If you've ever been familiar with the old, it still works tool, GPO tool, this is a sort of, kind of like GPO tool that's in the box, which is nice. And it works a different way, so if you are trying to do some advanced troubleshooting, I would personally use a combination of both the older GPO tool and the newer status tab together to determine, are my GPOs consistent across all my domain controllers, okay? Some other stuff. This is probably my favorite latest GPMC goodie, which is called Remote GP Update. We've all had this problem. Your boss tells you that you should have killed the control panel for all the computers on East Sales or something, and everybody's already logged on. So then you create the GPO, you link it over to the right place, and then you're like, oh, for the love of Pete, I just wish that people would get the setting already. Well, now there's a way to force that. I'm sorry, friends. I don't think you heard me correctly. Now there's a way in the GPMC to force your settings down to the target machines. Does that sound interesting? I wish I could take credit for it, but the group policy team thanks you for that, and I'll bestow that upon them. So with that in mind, here's how it works, and I'm going to try to do a demo of it, which is the idea is you right-click over a computer-side OU, okay? Even if the work you're trying to achieve is on the user side, that's not where the magic happens. No, the magic happens on the computer side. You're telling the computer, I want you to pull group policy. So what you do is you right-click over GP Update. It reads how many computers are in Active Directory at that point. And in this case, you can see I've got two computers there. All right. And then what it does is it goes out to all of them, and it sends them a little care package. And the care package is actually a scheduled task that says, up to 10 minutes in the future, then go ahead and run a GP update slash force. Let me say that again. It's not performing the work. It's giving the message to then perform the work. Are you following? Okay. That's really important. There is one little downside about this. Two little downsides. One is that it must be Windows 7 or later. They're the only guys that can receive the little care package. And the other little gotcha is that when it occurs, this little thing happens. I'll zoom in on it if it's a little hard to see. By the way, I have updated my slides, so you'll be able to get a chance probably 2 hours or so after my talk to get the latest slides, is that. So target machines get a little pop-up that says updating policy. I have heard folks report that this is a little scary for users. There is no active way that I know of to make that go away. That is, as you say, show business. Okay? So that's the deal. A little louder or come to a mic? Does it happen at log off? Is that the question? Gotcha. So his question is, if a group policy client-side extension requires a log off in order to perform its work, will it actually actively perform the log off? Is that your question, sir? Will the user be prompted? The question is, will the user be prompted if the client-side extension requires a log off? I have never seen it prompt the user, so in my experience, I've never seen it. I'm going to have to go with that. Fair enough? Okay, rock and roll. So let's go ahead and switch gears. Let me talk to you about my test lab and see what I can do here. And so my test lab is not very complex. I have a server 2012 R2 domain controller here. I also have a Windows 7 Service Pack 1 latest updated stuff and a Windows 8 machine. Windows 8.1 Update 1, or Win8U1, whatever you call it. Okay, so these guys are ready to go as client machines. I've already logged on as a guy called WestSalesUser1 on both of these machines. So you can see I'm WestSalesUser1 here, and you can see I'm, well, it's harder to see, but I am WestSalesUser1 here. So what I'm going to try to do during these demonstrations is kind of do things in parallel. Whatever I do on Windows 7, I'm going to do on Windows 8. We're going to do a lot of comparisons against the two. All right. So the first thing I want to show is, okay, let's go with that example that I talked about earlier here. Let's say you want to kill the control panel against all of your West Sales users. So I've already got the edict, so I'm going to drag and drop it to my West Sales users. And gosh, I would have to wait between 90 and 120 minutes just for the client to receive this directive, to pull. Directives are always pulled, but I'm a busy IT professional. I don't have 120 minutes to wait. So with that in mind, I'm going to use the GP update, the remote GP update. Now, my computers live in West Sales desktops. So what I'm going to do is right-click over West Sales desktops and run GP group policy update. And you can see that it shows you that I have two computers here, and I'll say yes. But something, that worked, and that one failed. And the question is, why? So if you can't read, I can't zoom in on this super easily, but there we go. So you can see Windows 8 failed, Windows 7 success. And the reason why is that when I went to go deliver the care package, there was a gate. The gate is that the firewall is on, or I don't have the door code for the gate, or the firewall holes aren't poked through the right firewall ports. There's a really easy trick to open up just the right ports to perform this magic. And that's what I'm going to show you. So you can see that Windows 8 got the directive, okay? But Windows 7 got the directive, but Windows 8 did not. So in order to fix this, okay, view full screen again here, there is this rather unused section of group policy land called starter GPOs, and for good reason, they're not used very often because it doesn't fulfill the promise of what I think it could possibly be. But there are two new things. You can see them here at the top called group policy remote update, firewall ports, and group policy reporting firewall ports. We're going to use the first one. So if I go to my sales, West Sales desktops here, right click and create a GPO and call it open the pod bay doors, Hal. I'm going to pick the remote group policy update firewall ports guy. And in doing so, that pre-packaged knowledge from Microsoft translated directly into the group policy object I just created. So if we were to look at the settings report here, okay, we can see all sorts of settings. The actual things it does, not that important for the purposes of this talk. What we do care about is that now, if I were to, I do have to firstly run GP update on this machine, or else nothing happens. Okay, whoops. In other words, I got to get the directive to open the firewall ports. This theoretically would have happened already. And now the next time I try to deliver the care package, that's what I'm going for. Will I get success at that point? So now that the computer's received the policy and all is good, let me go back to my server here, right-click over my West Sales desktops, run group policy update. Two computers are there. Remember, two failed. Now we have two successes. So if you see this, if you try to run remote group policy update and you're getting errors with RPC, not, all sorts of stuff that doesn't make any sense, all it means is that you don't have the firewall either off, not a good idea, or the holes correctly poked through to let the UPS man deliver the package on the front door, okay? So where does this package actually get delivered, I hear you cry. So let's go over to our Windows 7 or 8 machine, it really doesn't matter. Right click, computer manage. By the way, if you ever want to hack my machines, I have an admin with a name of A and a password of AA. Yeah, that's your password too. There you go. All right, so now if I go over to schedule tasks and I take a look at Microsoft Windows group policy, okay. Boom, you can see that I ran GP update two times remotely, and it's set to go at 4:47 my server time, okay? Does that make sense? Now, the thing is that I'm about to be talking during this time. I don't know when it's gonna actually occur. So we may see it occur in the background, or we may not see it occur in the background, but the point of the story is the scheduled task is there, the delivery has occurred, and at some point, within 10 minutes, it's going to do that work and produce that pop-up. So that's the goal, all right? So, the other thing that I wanted to show while I was here is let's go back to, this is switching gears back to the Internet Explorer guy. Actually, I'll use the same guy here. We talked earlier about a preferences item that might have Internet Explorer settings in it, and how do we know that it works with Internet Explorer 10? I'll just click here and click OK. Drag and drop. See, that's kind of cool. Let me show you that again. I bet you didn't know you could do that. You can take a group policy preference item, drag and drop it right to the desktop, and share it with a friend. So then you just drag and drop it back. All right, so if you click edit and you go to view, word wrap here, I'm gonna zoom in here, and if it all works, you can see that Internet Explorer 10 has that internal filter between 10 and 99. That's why it works. And that's why the other Internet Explorer items don't work on purpose with the wrong version of Internet Explorer. I don't know what's going to happen with Internet Explorer 12 and beyond, but this is what I know today. Okay, there you go. All right, let me get this back. Close that guy out, and we're on. Okay, that is that. Okay, super duper. Okay, next up on the docket, tips for speed freaks. That's me, that's you, that's everybody who has to deal with the client, okay? If you've ever thought to yourself, gosh, if only there's a way for me to figure out what is actually slow, then I'd have some data to work with, and that's what we're gonna cover right now. So we're gonna cover tips for speed freaks. So the first thing, I kind of categorize this into multiple kind of little sections. This is my top myths that don't really cause group policy slowdowns, or actually any slowdowns at all. Things that people report to me as, because I have these problems, I'm seeing slowness. No. So the first thing is lots of group policy objects in the group policy objects folder. No. If you have 900 group policy objects, that does not cause slowness. They are not doing anything unless they're linked somewhere, okay? So just having them does not cause slowness. whoops, not disabling the unused portion of a group policy object. That was old advice back in the day when there wasn't a lot of metrics around group policy in general. When I had a beer with a guy that's widely considered the father of group policy, he confessed to me over a beer that he wished that they had never even exposed that area to block up an unused portion of a GPO. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't actually increase speed all that much. And in my test, that bears out. Not having lots of stuff inside a group policy object. I don't recommend having lots of stuff inside a group policy object, but that being said, having lots of stuff inside a GPO does not necessarily cause a slowdown problem. If you have block inheritance or you've got enforcement used, that does not necessarily, in fact, it does not cause any group policy slowdowns. When group policy, the client says, what GPOs am I supposed to get? That's one call. So it doesn't matter how much block inheritance or enforced you're really using. It might be harder to troubleshoot, but it doesn't actually cause group policy slowdowns. Okay? Lots and lots of group policy objects linked to a user or a computer. That seems like a suspicious smoking gun. You've got a lot of GPOs, and if a lot of GPOs have to process, that would seem like it would take a long time. But that's actually not necessarily the cause of a group policy slowdown. So we're going to talk about that in a couple slides from now. Top real causes for slowdowns at logon and startup. Real things that I see that actually cause slowness, except group policy is incorrectly blamed. Let me say that again. I get this all the time. I'm sure you do too. For the love of Pete, group policy is running slowly. Go fix it. These are the things that are actually causing real slowness, but it's not group policy's fault, okay? Roughly in the order that I see them. Thing number one, logon scripts doing dumb things. Maybe you're, yes. If you like number one, you're gonna love number two. Logon scripts doing really dumb things. And if you like number two, you're gonna love number three, logon scripts doing ridiculously dumb things. Now, let's put a little example around here. Example number one might be you're copying a small file, and you're doing it every time. Every time you're copying a small file using a logon script, you're definitely copying the file from here to there, every time, every time, every time. If it's small, you have a small slowdown. If we go to logon scripts doing really dumb things, maybe you're mapping to a drive to a server that doesn't exist, and it's trying, and it's trying, and it's trying, and that causes a delay. Doing ridiculously dumb things could be like you're copying a giant movie file, a 500 megabyte movie file, something really absurd like that. So these are the top three things. Of course, it's one thing. So if I could give you one piece of advice to take away, it's use Go through as you can, go through all the scripts that you have. I wouldn't say they're super easy to find. There are some PowerShell-y and VB scripty style ways of going through and figuring out which GPOs have logon scripts, figure out what you've got, and try to rip as much stuff out as you can. Okay? So, logon scripts doing between dumb things and extremely dumb things. And of course, the corollary, startup scripts doing dumb things. All in the same ballpark, all in the same ballpark, just up on the other side, okay, just on the computer startup side. Having a home drive far away, or really even having a home drive at all. If you have a home drive, what has to happen is that the network stack has to get hot, the home drive has to be there, and then group policy really kinds of processes kind of after that. So having a home drive at all can really delay kind of the forward motion that group policy wants to. So it's again, not group policy's fault. It's the idea that you have this network-bound thing before group policy can actually do its magic. That's important. So, well, gosh, this one keeps appearing. Lots and lots of group policy objects linked to a user or computer. Well, this can be a real cause for slowdowns at logon and startup, okay? So, but again, not group policy related. Profiles being built and downloaded the very first time. Profiles being built and downloaded the very first time. That is definitely a cause that group policy gets blamed for over and over again. And honestly, if you're doing desktops and laptops, you don't feel it as much because the first time you log on, hey man, that's show business, that just takes a while. Second time you log on, maybe it's settling in and doing some other house cleaning stuff. And the third time, hey, it's smooth sailing. But if you're starting to work on VDI, now you've got a problem. Because if you're doing like the Kleenex version of VDI, which is you use it once and throw it away and you get another tissue, okay, the non-persistent desktop or such, then every time you log on, you're regenerating that profile over and over again, and that takes time. And I'm going to show you that during my demonstration. All right. Next up on the docket, other various discontention during startup and logon. So if you've got weird, you know, you've told the computer to start up a run as thing, any of that stuff just takes a long time during startup and logon, but group policy takes the blame for it. DNS issues, big one, okay? If you've got a machine and it doesn't have smooth sailing to the DNS server, to smooth sailing to the domain controller, you got nothing but problems. Maybe this should be like up there in one of the top more things. I see it a lot. It doesn't get the TLC that it needs. If you're not an expert at it and you need to call in a DNS expert, I highly recommend it. I've seen people go from really long logon times to really short logon times by just cleaning out their DNS and making it nice and healthy. Services hung on client. Once again, you're starting up the machine, it's just waiting, it's waiting, it's waiting, it's waiting, and then it just finally goes. Again, not a group policy problem, but it definitely causes slowdowns. Mapping drives or printers that don't exist. The group policy engine will just do exactly what you tell it to do. So if it tries to go to a drive or use a logon script to try to map a printer or so on, the computer's just going to do what you tell it to do. And if it doesn't exist, you're waiting for it to fail. Okay? So, and I forgot to mention that about logon scripts. If you time a machine that you feel has a slow problem and you're like, whoa, that's 5 minutes and 10 seconds, that's definitely a logon script problem. Because logon scripts give up after 5 minutes. Okay? So that's another little secret ninja tip. And finally, bad drivers. Okay, I've seen all sorts of cases where a bad driver holds the network stack. You could have updated the driver, they fixed it. You know how drivers are built. They're built by somebody's teenage son in the basement when they're shipping the network card, you know, who knows. So long story short, you want to make sure that you have the latest, greatest drivers so you have the latest, greatest opportunity for success. Okay. Now, here is where I got to bare my soul. And here we go. I got to take one for the group policy team. These are the top actual causes for actual problems with actual group policy in roughly the order that I see them. Number one, having lots and lots of GPOs linked to a user or computer. Now, wait, we had that for the last four slides, and it wasn't a group policy problem before. On this slide, it is, because there's a caveat. The caveat here is lots of group policy objects, but over a slow link. That is a number one problem that the group policy team is very aware of and wants to make better, and I'm going to show you what they've done around that in a little bit. Whoops. Two, deploying huge printer drivers over group policy preferences printers. If you're using the Xerox driver or the HP driver, I'm not picking on them, they're just the ones I know of that are big and gargantuan, those 200 megabyte guys. The group policy engine will do what you tell it to do, and it will try to download and apply those guys over a slow link, or over a link. So no matter how bad it is, it's going to have to come down. Now, somebody asked me the question, gosh, if I need to use those drivers, should I maybe pre-bake those into my image? So I wrote a whole blog entry. I know you can't read that. That's okay. You don't have to write it down or take a screenshot. The updated slides will be available on ComNet probably in an hour or two. The point is that this blog entry goes into excruciating detail about whether or not you should do that. Short answer, don't do that. Okay? But if you want the full answer, the blog entry tells the tale. Next, replication issues causing a GPO to become malformed and therefore have a broken version number. Group policy gets downloaded always by the client. Let me say that again. Group policy is never pushed, it's always pulled. And the group policy client knows to pull things when a couple of things are true. One of the things that has to be true is this idea called a version number, like, have I been edited recently? If the versions are mismatched or otherwise malformed or broken, the client kind of loses its brain and goes, well, I didn't see you yesterday. I need to download you again today. So remember that idea we talked about earlier, that status, that group policy status tab? Using the group policy status tab will help you determine, do you have a malformed group policy object? And if so, that would be causing group policy slowdowns because the client thinks, I've never seen you before, and it takes longer to download. Okay? So said another way, group policy takes the hit because of a malformed group policy object that got created and malformed during replication. Okay? Overuse of group policy filtering by Active Directory group membership. It's actually not as deadly of a sin as I'm making it out to be here. I've seen plenty of overuse of using group policy filtering by Active Directory groups. I've seen it slow down some people. I've seen it not affect people. I would not say it is a major sin to do this. It's not the way it was intended to be used, but it works just fine. Using WMI filters inappropriately or excessively. WMI, by its very nature, is a database, right? You're using group policy to then say, deploy these settings when these conditions are true. Well, then it has to go to the computer, look up in a table and in a database and pull out the data and look at it and see if it's actually true or not. That takes time. Some of the queries, like say the Win32 product install, whatever that's called, that puppy takes a really long time. So if you want to see if a particular product is installed before you apply a group policy object, that actually takes a really long time. Other things, they don't take as long. So if you use WMI filters, you might find that some take a long time, others don't take very long. But again, it's not a deadly sin. It is something that does cause actual group policy slowdowns. And here's the last one. Again, this is in the order that I see them. This last one is actual group policy, client-side bugs, like the engine itself, but there's some hot fixes that will actually fix your problem. That is perfectly reasonable. There are bugs in software, and then they get fixed. This one hot fix alone, 277-5511, that exists specifically for Windows 7 Service Pack 1, improves the processing of group policies and group policy preferences. By the way, there is no such thing as group policies. There is group policy objects. There is group policy. There is no group policies. Makes my skin crawl. Anyway, the performance of computers is improved after you install this roll-up update on Windows 7-based computers that have several group policy preferences. Fixed. Next, fixed. Improves the WMI filters we just talked about to reduce CPU usage and improve the repository verification performance. Fixed. Same hotfix. Fixes logon scripts take a long time to run in Vista and 2008 and Windows 7 and Server 2008 R2. Fixed. And lastly, you experience a long logon time when you try to log onto Windows 7-based or Windows Server 2008 R2-based client computer that uses roaming profiles. One hotfix to fix all these problems. So it does kind of take a little bit of homework to keep on top of this stuff. I'm not saying it's easy, but the point is that if you're having a problem, it's easy to blame something as opposed to necessarily doing research. And hopefully, this idea helps you sort of determine that there are some fixes for some problems. Okay, let's talk about what the group policy team has done recently to make things even more better. Now, if you're using a Windows 7 machine and you use one of the client-side extensions that require, that can only happen during the logon, those would be folder redirection, software installation, group policy preferences, drive maps, and disk quotas. Something kind of naughty happens. So I'm going to use drive maps. Use drive maps, and then, all of a sudden, it takes longer to log on. And why is that? Because normally, the way group policy works is that it processes stuff in the background. But if you use one of these four guys here, it has to process in the background. If you do one of these four guys, it must process in the foreground. So that being said, Windows 8.1 changes the game. And where there were four guys that required foreground policy processing, Windows 8.1 only requires two. That's folder redirection and software installation. I'm going to show you an excruciating detailed demo of why and what this means to you in just a minute. The other big trick that Windows 8.1 performs is this thing called the group policy cache. The group policy cache is there for when sync is required, but honestly, it's not required very often. Look at the chart. So whenever folder redirection or software installation is required, this new idea called the group policy cache on Windows 8.1 kicks in. And instead of making a lot of calls out to the domain controller to figure out what's going on, it tries to go locally first to save in bandwidth and therefore process faster. So this new Windows 8.1 cache helps when sync is required, and it's read locally and not from Active Directory. The second thing it does is that if one of the client-side extensions does require foreground, it will do all the background ones first, and then, sorry, all the foreground ones first, then flip to background. That's kind of nice. So again, you could have 19 things you're trying to do, and when you hit a folder redirection one, boom, it does what it has to do and flips back, which is nice. The last thing that it brings to the table is the big one, as far as I'm concerned. Remember, we said having a lot of group policy objects linked to your users or computers is bad news, ... when you're over a slow link. Well, starting when your users use Windows 8.1, those client machines reduce the LDAP requests to Active Directory during all logons. So if you have a slow link, I would suggest you put a Windows 7 machine next to a Windows 8.1 machine and try logging on using whatever that slow link means to you. I bet that Windows 8.1 blows the doors off the Windows 7 machine. Okay? That is the big win for me. So what does this do? It speeds up logons when syncs are required. It's nice, but it's not required that often. And it also speeds up all logons when you have lots of group policy objects and slow links. That's the big win, okay? I do want to put a fine point on it. The caching does not magically keep either ADMX-based stuff or group policy preferences stuff compliant and cached when working offline. So the idea of this being a magical cache that refreshes in the background, that's not how this operates, and it's not its design goal. Okay, we will talk about a way to solve that problem just around the bend, though. Now, remember this problem. As your logon scripts are doing stuff, you could tell your logon script to, like, search for a dot, you know, XML file and make a report and put it over there, or map drives or printers or all sorts of stuff. That stuff takes a lot of disk power and can really slow down your logons. So they thought about it in Windows 8.1, and they made a design decision. And starting in Windows 8.1, and later, something new happens. I'm going to zoom in on this so you can see it very clearly. It's called Configure Logon Script Delay. And even when it's not configured, starting in Windows 8.1, by default, the group policy client waits 5 minutes before running logon scripts. Let me say that again in case it hasn't sunk in. Your users log on, they're expecting stuff to happen. 5 minutes later, boom, it kicks in. Technically, I can stand behind this because, first of all, you shouldn't try to get yourself out of the login business in the first place. And two, this is the kind of thing that sort of makes your logons really slow. So if your computer is all the way through all the group policy stuff and anything else that's naughty that we talked about, then later it can do this logon script stuff. What's that? You don't like this behavior? You'd like to revert it back? No problem. You can certainly do that. If you disable the setting, group policy scripts will run immediately at logon just like they always have. But the default behavior in Windows 8 is to do this behavior, okay? So, I think you can probably also turn this off if you've deployed SSD disks out there. You've got SSD disks out there. I think you probably don't need this, but it's good for the times where we're kind of in that interchange between not SSD and SSD, okay? I think it's also important to understand your best and worst case scenarios. Let's just go right to the finish line. The best case we know is going to be Windows 8.1 because it does all that magic in order to make it go as fast as it possibly can today. But also all the client-side extensions, including any third-party ones from other vendors, and there are a couple of vendors here on the floor that down in the booths that have client-side extensions, they also have to run asynchronous or else the whole shoot and match will be running in synchronous mode. And the other piece of the best case is that user has to have logged on multiple times. The profile has been built, and magic has occurred, and it's over. That is the best case. So what's the worst case? And it's useful to test this and to know what your worst case is. The worst case is definitely the first time the user has ever logged on, for two reasons. He's got to download and process all the group policy objects, and he's got to build or regenerate the profile. That takes time. That's the killer right there. The other worst case is that if you decide to force sync. What the heck is force sync? Well, there's been this policy setting around since the dawn of time called always wait for the computer at startup and logon. Another way to think about this is that it says ensure that as I'm logging on, I always get all of my group policy objects while I'm logging on, and not deferred until later. Okay, well, that sounds good. What's good or bad about that? Well, on the plus side, you get more consistency. So if you've got a lot of computers, you want to make sure that every time they log on, they get exactly the same thing, and there's no kind of, well, after later they log on, something happens. Well, then you can turn this on. I think it's reasonable to do this for LANs, but we're starting to come to a time where not all of our computers are on the LAN. And with that in mind, I would suggest that you also leave it alone for the computers that either have slower connections or are on and off a lot. And the good news is you can do this. This is a computer-side setting. So for your East Sales desktops, if you wanted, you could enable to force sync on and get consistency. Or for your traveling West Sales desktops, you could leave it off and have more speed because of their on and off connection. So you can kind of decide as you want to. Okay, so if we combine these two things together, if I go back a click here, again, your worst case, but very useful for testing, is the first time ever logging on plus forced synchronization. Okay, that will guarantee the slowest time you're ever going to have. Okay? And I think that brings us to speed tests live. All right. So I've got a wide variety of speed tests here to show you here. Let me go back to my guy here. All right. Now, here's my setup. I've got a bunch of GPOs that are pre-baked. This one's called U1, and it's got some regular generic administrative template stuff in it, add log off to the start menu, and so on. And in U2 here, I've got some shortcut items from group policy preferences and some start menu items. Gosh, I want to run some speed tests, but I'm a busy IT professional. If only there were a free utility that I could use to quickly generate hundreds of group policy objects for speed tests. Man, that would be a pretty cool giveaway, wouldn't it? No. Just a freebie. That's not free. This one is. So I had written for you guys this great little utility. I'm going to give it to you. It's a PowerShell guy called Copy GPO GUI. You don't have to know how to do anything in PowerShell. You just run it. And what it's going to do is it's going to look through GPOs that you've already created with the naming construct U1, U2, U3, and so on. And it will round robin those and create multiple GPOs and link them over to a place so you can do your own speed tests. Okay, so this is a freebie. I'll be giving it to you at the end of the talk. Here's how it works. By the way, use at your own risk, and don't call me if you have a problem. Yes. So we're going to go to our sales, West Sales users here. Okay, and I'm going to link on the user side 100 group policy objects and click OK. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you don't have 100 GPOs linked to a portion of Active Directory and then downloading to the client. So I'm going way overboard. You might have 10, 20, 40. I bet you don't have 100. This little script will max you out at 500. Okay, if you want to do time trials. And that's done. So let's see what it did. Let's go back over here. I'm going to refresh my group policy objects node here, and look what it did. And where did it do it? It linked them over to my West Sales user. Where are they? Let's refresh there, and there they are. Okay? Now, don't panic. I created a little video for you that demonstrates how to use this and also how to undo your changes. It's part of the freebie that I'm giving away today. Okay? All right? So you'll have a chance to use this guy. So now let's do our speed test. So just to prove a point, this is 100 group policy objects. I'm going to log off of Windows 7 and log off of Windows 8. And the way I'm going to do this is age before beauty. So I'm going to log on as West Sales User 2. Switch user here, West Sales User 2. I'm going to click in here, and I'm going to rush click in there, OK? Boom, boom. I have no passwords by design. So this kind of a setup that I'm demonstrating here, it's processing 100 group policy objects right now. Yes, I've got a fast computer. Yes, I'm using SSD and all that. But the point is that what you're seeing here is relative in ratio to what you'll see in real life. Notice how Windows 8 takes a little longer. It's already done the group policy stuff. It's now on to the creating the profile. Now, if you've ever seen Windows 8 show you the little animation of how to click here, and I've turned all that off. That's definitely the slowest. I've turned that off, and I've done that using group policy to do that. Okay? So, and you also saw that it demonstrated what was happening at runtime. Let me show you how I did that. I wanted to mention that. So that is part of a group policy object I have here called show all status messages and kill the animation for Windows 8. And so right here, you can see that I've got the display highly detailed status messages. That's what that's what was going by. And then you can see also there is show first sign-in animation for Windows 8, and I've disabled it, okay? Just so you can see. So in that first test, Windows 7 beat Windows 8. Doesn't mean it beats it all the time, but it definitely beat it in that particular case. So now let's talk about the second logon. So it took, 19 seconds or something. Let me go ahead and log off here. Log back off here. And now let's talk about our second logon. Control delete, over here. And let's again do age before beauty. Roughly equal. That's 100 GPOs. Why does that work? Why is it so fast? It already got what it needed. Both operating systems already got the 100 GPOs. Now, by the way, if you think I'm pulling a fast one on you here, which I'm not, run GP result / R, and you'll see 100 group policy objects fly by. They're there. They really are downloaded. Okay? So this is how you should conduct your speed test. Okay? That's the general gist. But there's a catch. The catch is that let's add something to the mix. For our West Sales users, I'm going to link a GPO I created before we got started here. I got to find it in this soup here. And I've mapped an X drive to my domain controller. Okay, so group policy preferences drive map. He's mapping DC share. And now I'm going to go back to Windows 7 and log off here. Go to Windows 8 and log off here. Great. Now let's see what happens when I log on. We'll do age before beauty. And gosh, that was pretty fast. But let's see the result. On Windows 8, I go to File Explorer here. Oh, there it is. There's the share. Awesome. Let's do the same thing on Windows 7. And wait a minute. It's not there. And this is because Group Policy Preferences drive maps in Windows 7 can only run in the foreground, where in Windows 8, the group policy team fixed it, and now it runs in the background. There's something incredibly important that you have to know about Windows 7 now. Check this out. If you log off here, and log back on again, your expectation might be that it just sails through. But here's the catch. Boom. It has to reprocess the group policy objects again in the foreground. So now you got the signal the last logon, and you're doing the work this logon. So, okay, let's take a look. Did we get the drive map? Yep, got the drive map. So then you decide you're going to log off and log back on again. What happens now? Well, you got the signal last time that you didn't need it, so this time it's going to sail right through. So now, if I'm not putting a fine point on it, every other logon is fast and slow because you used a group policy preferences drive map on Windows 7. On Windows 8, you don't have that problem. And that is the big change. Okay? Just to prove a point, I log off here. It's like a TikTok. All right, log back in, and boom. Second time slow, first time fast. TikTok. All right. The one other thing I wanted to sort of describe and express is, again, your worst case scenario is going to be lots of group policy objects over a slow link when you've set the always wait flag. So if you want to see where that flag is, okay, I'll just do it on any random group policy object. I'm not going to actually use it here. Let's create it here. Test one. So that's going to live under computer side, policies, admin templates, system, log on. And it's this guy. Always wait for the network, a computer startup, and log on. If this guy is set to enabled, you're always in sync mode. Okay? So that's basically that. Oh, the one other thing that I wanted to make you aware of with regards to slow link testing is this utility that is a free download from Microsoft, if not a little hard to find, called Newt, or Network Emulator Client something. I don't know why it's called Newt. Oh, Network Emulation for Windows Toolkit. There you go. I think they just wanted to make the acronym fit. So long story short, the way this works is that you run it on your test domain controller in your test lab, and it will simulate a slow link operation. I'm not going to do it. It's very boring. It takes a long time to make things log on. But in my time trials, it was very helpful for me. So for instance, you want to pick a ASDL connection, you can, oops, go ahead and pick that guy. There we go. And then you click on the link, you right-click over it, and you make it go. There you go. And you can set all the configuration options you want right there. How fast it is, how latent it is, and so on, which is really great in testing. So you can kind of roughly simulate your traveling sales user connections and that sort of thing, all right? And really get time trials to figure out what's fast and what's slow for you, okay? All right. Moving on up, base hits for group policy troubleshooting. So this is the section where I shook a lot of hands, I got to meet a lot of friends, and people were asking me, you know, I'm using group policy and I'm not figuring out why something's slow, or I tried to do this thing with preferences and I'm not seeing the reaction I expected. And these are the kinds of tips that you can take home and use when you have a problem, okay? So the first thing is reporting. This reporting entry is with the new GPMC, and I want to show you something about it that I love. I feel bad for the group policy team, man. They got to take a lot of punches in the gut because everybody reports incorrectly that group policy is the problem. So I think one day they kind of got sick of getting sand kicked in their face and they did this. Can you guys see this? Each of the sections of group policy now have time taken around it. So now when somebody comes to you and you're getting the sand kicked in your face and you have to defend group policy, you can be like, I got some data to show you about how bad it is. So in this example, let's talk about the third one third. There's registry and security, 32 and 500 milliseconds. That's not very long. And then group policy infrastructure, that's 905 milliseconds. That's a 1 second. And what this is that's gearing up to process the other ones. So group policy infrastructure is the gearing up time to process the other ones. So if we take a look at the user details here, we've got, well, gearing up to process the other ones took almost a second. And then you can see power options and printers, even third-party ones like Policy Packer represented there, and registry settings. Any time you use a client-side extension, it's now represented correctly here in the GPMC with the time taken. There is a catch. There is a big catch. It's not a mystery. It's not a bug. It's just a fact, which is that the gearing up time doesn't take into effect the LDAP calls required to then download all the GPOs first, okay? So if it takes you 8 minutes to log on over a slow link, but then 6 seconds to actually process, those 8 minutes are not represented here, okay? However, there is a way to get to that data. There is a way to get to that data. I'll talk about that in a second. So the worst way to troubleshoot is to just blame group policy as a scapegoat for every darn thing. That's not fair. Instead, use actual facts. Wait a minute, hold on. Actual science? What is that? Okay, so use actual science for your networking troubleshooting. Now, how do you get those facts? There are four ways to get facts. Way number one, I just talked about it, is reporting. The second way is eventing. The third way is tracing. And the last one is this utility called the Windows Performance Analyzer. So the idea is that when it comes to troubleshooting, and I'm going to cover this in the chat real fast, I kind of think about the group policy reporting engine, sort of like the Wall Street Journal. You know how like you're reading the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or whatever paper, and it's got the small, like 17 people, you know, injured at this, whatever, and then you turn to page B6, and you turn to page B6, and you get kind of like the big story. So the little story is here under Windows System Log. So the group policy settings for the user were processed successfully. I got three of them, yay! Turn to page B7 for the bigger version. And that's this idea called the incremental group policy operational logs. So the group policy operational logs tells you the full story of from start to finish and everything in between. This is where the meat actually happens, okay? Starting in Windows 8.1, there are a lot of new events, which is great. All sorts of new things. If you want to figure out, like, when did the service start? Because the service in Windows 8 can go up and down. You can trigger on that. You can report on that. You can see if it's switched modes from sync to async and so on. Gosh, they just go on and on. I've got a whole other page of them. Of course, you can see that, and you're taking terrific notes. No, you don't have to, because you're going to download the slides. Now, the one entry I want to point out here is this guy, is group policy download start and group policy download end. Remember, the reporting doesn't, where it showed you the milliseconds, it doesn't report 8 minutes of trying to get the data. But if you try these events, you should get it. You should be able to see when 4257 starts, and then when 5257 ends, that's 8 minutes. That's the entirety of downloading and processing end to end. But you only get this data on Windows 8, okay? All right. All right. Someone in the back said, you know, Jeremy, I was banging my head against the wall. I know I did schedule tasks correctly. In fact, I did it in a test lab, and then when I moved that same item into my production land, I couldn't get the scheduled task to work. I said, my friend, I've got a slide for you, and here it is. It's this idea called group policy preferences logging and tracing. So the idea is that all the moving parts of group policy preferences have their own super special log. So if you're having trouble with drive maps or printers or shortcuts or scheduled tasks, you can turn on the juice. And by turning on the juice here, by enabling the particular setting and turning tracing on, what you get out of it is a not super easy to read log, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to do it that often. And then what I would tell my friend in the back who asked me this question is I would go line by line between my test lab and my real world and see where the trick and the holdup is. Okay? Who are you? Give me a thumbs up that you totally get it. Rock and roll. Okay? So that's for that guy right there. Last but not least is the Windows Performance Analyzer. So my friend Matt Reynolds will be doing an amazing talk on Thursday at 2:45. He's done it 2 years running. I think it's great. It's called How Many Coffees Can You Drink While Your PC Starts? It's a great talk. And his talk is the sister talk to this talk. And we've coordinated a little bit. And so with that in mind, I highly recommend that you go to check out that talk. In this screenshot, by example, using the Windows Performance Analyzer, you can see that the group policy scripting engine took a percentage of the time to run a logon script across the overall time it took to get from start to ready. Okay? It's a great talk. It's mostly about that. I highly recommend it. And you can review the old talks on 2013 and 2012. I recommend those as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to do a demo on group policy eventing. So let's go to our, it doesn't matter, Windows 7 or 8, they event the same in this capacity. So I'll just right click, computer and go to manage here. Actually, I don't want to do that. Let's relink the, let me use a different user here. Log off. Log off here. I want to take the group, I want to make this go a little faster. So I don't want to use 100 GPOs. So for my East sales users now, for those of you who take my 5-day group policy intensive training and workshop class, this should look very familiar. You've seen here, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, link an existing GPO. And I want to take, I'll take one of you one and one of you two. Okay, so I've got these two group policy objects. They're ready to go. I want to log on here as West sales user, as East sales user now. East sales user one. It's only downloading two GPOs now, so it'll take a lot less time. Okay. And a lot is happening during this time, okay? And these events are happening, like I said, in two places. One is in the system log, and the other is in the group policy operational log. Let's take a look and see what we can find here. So if I go to my computer manage here, and I go to the eventing system, first place I'm going to go is Event Viewer, Windows, System Log. I'm going to look for some group policy events. There's one. Boom. See if I can zoom in on that to show you here. There we go. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Okay, group policy settings for the user were applied successfully. I got three. Cool. Well, how did I get three? What did I get? How long did it take? That's not here. That is under Application and Services, under Microsoft, Windows, down under Group Policy Operational, and here's the big news. But actually, there's a little bit of a problem. I'm going to clear this log just to prove a point. And then I'm going to rerun GP Update, if I can get to the window. Okay. So when you run GP Update, some stuff will occur. It will either decide, well, I need some GPOs, I don't need other GPOs, and it will make some decisions. But that will happen in the report here. But when I run GP Update or GP Update slash force, I'm downloading both sides, both the user side and the computer side. So I need a way to separate these sides. So if I have a problem, say, on the user side, I can trace just the user side. I'm going to show you how to do that. You start off life by finding an event here that says something about user. Here we go, East Sales Users. If I look in the event and I look in the details for this event, there's this thing called the Correlation Activity ID. So on the user side, on this particular run of GP Update, it starts with 3EA5. If I look at another item, event, I might see a different number representing the computer side. There it is, 2D30. So the user side has this set, and the computer side has this set. But they're all mishmashed in the same 2 seconds that it took to log into group policy. If only there was a way to use like a centrifuge and to sort of separate the two, that's what I'm going to show you. So I'm going to take the correlation activity ID on the user side. 3EA, whatever. I'm going to take this guy. I'm going to copy it. And then I'm going to use this thing called activity ID filter, which I'm also going to give you when we are done with today's talk. In fact, I wish I could take the credit. The group policy team came up with this. I'm just their vessel. So I'm going to here insert activity ID here. Okay? I'm then going to copy this whole string, go back to the custom views, create a custom view, go to XML mode, and manually do it, paste it in, hit OK, and call this user side tracing, and boom. Ah, so you're just seeing the stuff that happened from soup to nuts on the user side, everything that Windows has to offer. Was that helpful for you? Yeah. You know, I feel like if you get just one thing out of a talk, that's great. If you get more than one, it's a bonus. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Okay, final thoughts, then just enough time for announcements. So the first final thought is, you know, always use the latest, greatest GPMC and the latest ADMX files. That's two different things, okay? They are shipped separately, so you can be sure to always download the latest ADMX files and use them. We don't have time to go into the central store today, but it's a whole other hot topic. Basically, always use the latest. You can almost never go wrong. The second thing is I created my own law, which is the first login doesn't matter. Heck, the second login doesn't matter either. By the third logon, if you still have problems, that's where you break out the toolkit we were just talking about. That's where it becomes important, okay? So again, for the VDI scenario, I know that's tough. All the major vendors tend to ship a script that will try to strip out and reduce the time it takes to log on that first time precisely for the problem that we described. Okay? Next, don't wait until your systems have cruft to start troubleshooting. Cruft is an old computer science word, meaning code and junk that you forgot to clean out and now you need to. So what this means is basically like, don't wait until it's, I talked and shook a lot of hands and I had people say, yeah man, my story is I inherited a dirty Active Directory and group policy objects and I kind of don't know what to do. Well, unfortunately, now you're waiting too long to kind of clear it out. I can help you with that, but the point of the story is, you know, try not to wait too long. And next, just for fun, if you're having slowness, try to bring up a Windows 8.1 machine next to a Windows 7 machine. Just try it on for size and see if Windows 8.1 wins or is still slower. If it's still slow, well then it's something that we didn't cover. Okay, it's still one of those, you know, one of those other items. Troubleshooting is part art and part science. And what I mean by that is, you know, you kind of have to know where you're going, but once you're there, you gotta use facts. Okay, facts are where it's at. And hopefully you got the materials here to make good use of the science. And lastly, you know this now, it's gonna be hard to impart this to folks, but it's hard to, I know, all of us, it's hard to accept fake blame. We didn't eat the cookie from the cookie jar yet. We're still getting blamed. So basically, try not to throw your hands up in the air, just, gosh, I don't know why it's not working. Use the tools that we talked about today to try to actually put some science around some stuff, okay? That is all the final thoughts. Did you get some cool stuff out of today's talk, yes or no? Thank you. Seriously, I love you guys. I love being here. This is my favorite place on earth, is to be right here, sharing stuff with you. And I have a handful of announcements. The first announcement is actually a correction of a big issue. I've been granted by the authority vested in me by the powers of the group policy of Microsoft. I get to be the first person to demonstrate and describe this problem. It's a well-known problem, and today they are releasing the fix, and I am now bringing it to you. The problem is, and you've probably heard of this issue, is that these fields in some of the group policy preference items have password fields, and these password fields are really called cPassword fields, but they are actually reversible, okay? So the announcement right here, right now, is that starting today, probably within the next hour or two, or maybe it's already done, is that there is a official cPassword remediation package. So let's give the group policy team a round of applause for doing that. This is the official KB article. You don't have to write it down. You'll get the slides. It's KB2962486. What do you get with it? I hear you cry. You get an updated hotfix for your GPMC to prevent you from being naughty again. So it prevents the problem from starting. It also gives you a PowerShell script for detecting where you've been naughty. And lastly, some guidance for remediation. The last piece of the puzzle is that if you try to edit going forward, you'll get a pop-up that looks like this, that says, gosh, you can't do it, and here's why you shouldn't do it. Click help and go to a web page, and you'll get to this KB article. So it's a hot fix, okay? It does not actually prevent you from being double naughty and working around the actual XML. It's sort of a preventative, it's a baby gate, Okay? It prevents you from being naughty. Okay? Now, that's Microsoft's announcement. I have some announcements of my own. Now, as you know, I wear a couple hats. I'm a group policy MVP for 11 years. I have a software company called PolicyPack Software, and I've been plagued with a couple of problems, and I'm here to announce some solutions to those problems. Problem number one, how can you marry the flexibility of group policy preferences and the power, delivery, and reporting of SCCM or Windows Intune or whatever else you might have? Does that sound interesting? Okay, here's the announcement. It's called PolicyPack Preferences. And what it does is that it lets you use any group policy preference item, like drive maps, shortcuts, printers, start and stop devices, and so on, and you can deploy it using SCCM, Intune, even to non-domain join machines, and keep group policy preferences compliant, even if somebody throws an icon in the trash or tries to work around the settings. Interesting or not interesting? That's announcement number one. Announcement number two, what if you don't have any of those things? What if you don't have Active Directory, SCCM, or Intune, but you still want to deliver group policy preferences and your application's security settings to gaggles of machines? Like maybe you're a managed service provider and you've got a doctor's office here, an architect over here, and a lawyer's office over there. But they're not quite ready to invest in like a big management system. Well, I'm happy to announce today we are launching PolicyPack Cloud Service. And the PolicyPack Cloud Service, you can think of it as group policy in the cloud. Today, we're starting with two things, which is PolicyPack Preferences in the cloud, which I just talked about, and PolicyPack Application Manager, which I know of you, a lot of you have already used. To put a fine point on it, again, what you get is the ability to take any group policy preference item or any PolicyPack item, such as Firefox configuration, Internet Explorer, Java, Flash, and so on, upload it to the cloud, target machines will download it on a schedule, perform the work, and they get maintained compliance, even if they go offline. Does that sound interesting for you too? And I'm happy to say it's built on Azure, which is super nice. Here's how it works. Now, I showed you this in the demo. I showed how you can take a shortcut item or any other item and just drag and drop it to the desktop. I showed you that. You can also view it as an XML. So you can do that with a preference item or a PolicyPack Application Manager item. So here on the left, I'm doing a shortcut to the desktop. Here on the right, I'm managing Oracle Java using group policy and PolicyPack. Step two is you use SCCM, and you can drop those files in as an MSI or directly into the file system. If you don't use SCCM and you want to use Windows Intune, you can use Windows Intune. If you don't want to use Windows Intune, you can use PolicyPack Cloud. So each of these ways, delivery mechanisms, become equal. So in this final example here, you simply upload a new XML data file and link it to a computer group. So here you can see I've got Java very high security as a PolicyPack application manager setting item, and I've got shortcuts for Microsoft on the desktop. The way you get it there becomes up to you. The result, however, is exactly the same. So here in this example, I've got the shortcut icon here. I've got Java fully locked down there, and you delivered it however you want. You can use group policy to do it, now SCCM, Windows Intune, or PolicyPack Cloud. So that is my big announcement for today. Additional resources and tools. I think there are a handful of books left in the Microsoft Bookstore. If anybody's interested in picking one up, of course, I'll be happy to shake your hand and sign it for you. I do want to also make mention at least of my group policy health check and consulting service, where I don't come to you. You simply wrap up your Active Directory, and I check it out, and I can help you determine exactly what's wrong and give you a big list of exactly what you need to help get fixed. And also coming soon to a theater near you is a tool that we're working on called the Group Policy Compliance Reporter, which will finally answer the question of who's got what. Okay? So that's coming soon to a theater near you. I've been wanting to solve this problem a long time. I hope you do too. So that's coming soon. Lastly, but not leastly, 100% free bonus stuff for attending. 3 videos, myths and facts about ADM, ADMX, group policy preferences. 3 videos, totally free. I'm also going to give you the PowerShell script that I showed you that creates GPOs for you on the fly, plus the activity ID filter that I use to do the separation of the user and computer side. If you are interested in Policy Pack in any capacity, there's a way for you to get a hold of us there, and possibly win one of my group policy books. No guarantees, they make me say that. So here's the time. I have 30 seconds left, so here's how you do it. You crack open your cell phone or whatever. You go to tinyurl.com/jmteched1. It could take up to 60 minutes to get the emails. Here's two emails. That, my friends, is my talk. Thank you very much. Have a fantastic rest of your tech ed. Thank you.